How do you do? During World War I, a popular song asked the question, how are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris? Of course, the idea referred to the wanderlust an unsophisticated farm boy could acquire, once captivated by the lights of the big city. It was expected that the young man would never want to go back to simple farm life again. We're about to hear the story of such a man. He nearly lost his wife, his children, and his life, until his heart and mind and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, dramatizing true life stories produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. The old lighthouse is more significant than ever these days, as economic difficulties result in people losing their jobs, homes, and above all, losing their sense of direction. But Pacific Garden Mission has never lost its sense of direction. Since 1877, the mission has stood firm on its purpose of rescuing the perishing by proclaiming the gospel message to all who come to them. Hundreds of men, women, and children each day seek and receive shelter, food, fresh clothing, and a safe place to sleep. But it's the words from God that pastors teach and counselors impart that really change their lives. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Words like these help them focus on eternal purposes. When the Word of God takes up residence in their hearts, they are transformed. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3323 in the series, Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. We'd like to introduce you to a man so imprisoned by his false ideas of freedom that those ideas almost ruined his life and the lives of others. From the classic files of Unshackled, this is the true story of Charles Emerson.
Looking back on my life, I can identify at least two times in my childhood when the course of my life might have been changed if someone had been there to give me the right advice. The first of these incidents came when I was a small boy back in Rowan, Iowa. It was the year 1900. In our town, we went to Sabbath school on Saturday and then Sunday school on Sunday, so I learned a lot about the Bible. Some of the things I heard left quite an impression on me, and I would remember them from time to time throughout my life. My Sunday school teacher was very good.
Did you want to talk with me, Charles?
Yes, ma'am.
Why, Charles, what's the matter? Now take a deep breath and tell me what's bothering you.
I've been listening to you and thinking.
Thinking about what?
About Jesus and sin and heaven and hell and stuff.
What about it?
I remember you saying something about everybody's a sinner. The payment for sin is hell. What's wrong is I want to be saved.
Oh, why, Charles, you're getting too worked up. Imagine a nice boy like you crying about a thing like that.
But I do. I want to get saved.
But you're such a good boy. You don't need to do anything like that.
That was the first time that my life might have been changed if I'd been given better direction. The second time came when I was a teenager and had no one to give me direction. It was a nice, warm, sunny day. I was out walking through the woods with Sam, my dog, and for some reason I began to think about the sinfulness in my life. So with no one to talk to, I laid it all on Sam.
I don't know what to do, Sam.
Easy for you to say.
I just don't get it. I try to be good, live like I think God wants me to. I ain't done nothing bad, nothing like fooling around with girls or nothing, but I just keep doing lots of other things, like lying and cheating. If I was going to be a Christian, I'd have to act like it. I don't think I can do that, not all the time. Well, Sam, I don't reckon there's any sense being half a Christian, being half good. I ain't even going to try anymore.
It was a logical decision to me, and with only my dog around, there was no one to tell me how wrong I was. I wish I'd remembered the words of Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I had chosen my way and I knew what I was doing, even at the age of 15. I gave myself over to sin in whatever form it came. One of the forms it took was an uncontrollable wanderlust. I didn't need a fancy city like Paris to provoke the longing. With me, it started in the quiet little town of Cedar Falls, Iowa.
Hey, mister! Can you answer a question for me?
Sure. I'll be there in just a moment. So, how can I be of assistance, young man?
Yeah, this is my first time in Cedar Falls, and I got a couple hours before my train pulls out. Can you point me to a few of the sights of the city?
You want to go sightseeing here in Cedar Falls?
Yep, sure do.
Son, turn yourself slowly around in a circle.
Okay.
Good. Now you've seen just about everything there is to see in our fair city. You see, if you walk across the street, there's a park. You might want to spend a few minutes looking at the Civil War Memorial. Then a block straight ahead, you'll find the Black Hawk Hotel. Now, while there, make sure you sit in the third chair from the desk. Unusually comfortable. Then walk another mile down that road, you'll come to the bridge over the river. From there, you can watch the young folks in their canoes.
That fellow didn't think Cedar Falls was an exciting place, but I did. For once, I wasn't down on the farm. Then, when I moved on to the Twin Cities, man, I was flying high. From there, I stumbled onto a farm in Iowa before there were many highways, and I came down with typhoid, so I went back home to recover. When I got my strength back, I was off again, this time to Omaha, where I discovered my singing talent. It would help me get acquainted wherever I went.
Sure am thirsty.
You know, the trouble with our little quartet is that since John left, we only got three fellers. We either gotta get us another member or turn ourselves into a trio. Our stuff's all arranged for a quartet, and I ain't never heard of a barbershop trio. Have you? Hey, anyone in this here joint sing tenor?
Yeah, sure, mister. I'm a tenor.
Well, young man, come on up here. Let's find out if you can harmonize. You know, we're going to do a big party here later tonight and could use a good voice. Lots of free booze. The show's ours, but we need some help. Could even be a good way for a guy like you to meet some girls.
Thank you. Hey, guys, that was fun. I need a quick drink, but then let's keep things rolling.
Now that's what I call some fancy singing there, boys. I especially like your new tenor. What'd you say your name was? Charles? You know, you're kind of cute. Why don't you come on over to my table and have a drink? Maybe I can get you to sing a little, just for me.
Singing in that quartet offered me lots of opportunities to meet people, usually the wrong kind. Now, the gift of a good voice is neither evil nor good. It depends on how you use it. A man could only drink, gamble, and sing his way across the country for so long. I soon realized that I needed to find myself a trade, so I learned how to be a tool grinder, but I only worked at it when I needed cash. At other times, I'd hop a train. It was on one of those times that I made the acquaintance of a hobo who became a good friend.
Hey, say, pal, the train for St. Paul stop here?
Sure do. Waiting for it myself. Should be along about 2, maybe 3 minutes. But it's the engine which stops here by the water tank. The coach cars is back there a ways. You'd best move fast to grab a coach, especially if you ain't got your ticket yet.
Who said anything about a ticket for a cushion ride? I'm riding the blind.
You? Riding between the coal tender and the baggage car? Son, you nuts or something? You ever ride behind a tender before?
Sure, plenty of times. Why?
Well, them clothes of yours. You look more like a working stiff than a beau.
Clothes don't make the man. I know my way around.
If you say so. Go ahead and ride the blind. I'm too old for that anyways. These days I'm more of a boxcar man myself. Well, there she comes. I'll just mosey on down towards the boxcars. Maybe it'll attract the attention of the bulls and give you a chance to hop on once she pulls out again.
All right, see you in St. Paul.
When I arrived, I couldn't find a tool grinder's job, so I took a job at a restaurant as a dishwasher. That's where I met Teresa.
Oh, look at your arms. They're blistered from your hands all the way up past your elbows.
Yeah, must be the hot water.
The real problem is you're not a regular dishwasher. New at it, right?
Well, how would you know?
You'd be used to water that's hot. Not nearly so many blisters. I seen them come and go around here. Oh, I'm the pantry girl here. Name's Teresa.
Hi, Teresa. I'm Charles. Yeah, you're right. Actually, I'm an out-of-work tool grinder and tenor singer.
A singer? You sing? I mean, professionally?
Yeah, when I can find a quartet. Why don't you and me go out tonight and see if we can find us a quartet I can sing along with?
Charles, are you asking me for a date?
The lady's right again. She's on a winning streak. I'm asking. What you say?
After Teresa and I were married, I took her back to Rowan. It was the only place I knew where I could leave her without it costing me anything. For several years, our lives followed a pattern that displayed my lack of responsibility. I'd go off running around the country singing, and when I settled in one place for a while, I'd send for Teresa. But before long, I'd get the urge to move again. So I'd buy her a one-way ticket back to Iowa and head off, alone. I saw most of America. Sometimes I'd team up with friends. While in Philadelphia, I connected with my hobo friend, a pickpocket, washed-up prize fighter with a taste for whiskey. And me? I had a roll of $40 or $50 and made the mistake of letting one of the hobos see it.
I say we have Charles by tonight. He's got the money. I saw his roll. He could pay for the whole joint. Only reason he still got it is I ain't got it yet. Had my eye on a couple other marks. His time it'll come.
You hearing that, Charlie? He may sound like he's joking, but he ain't. I know this bunch. They's gonna roll you the first chance they get. I bet they'll try it before we get to the next joint.
Well, what you suggest?
If they jump you, I'll stick with you as long as I can. But if I was you, I'd find cause to get out of sight for a minute, then take off and never be seen again. I'll take no offense if you split on me. I'll just look for you down the line.
Thanks. I'll keep my eyes peeled for an opening and make my break.
I soon found a reason to slip out of sight, then ran until I was long ways away. I had kids then, so I headed back home for Christmas. On the way, I stopped in Indianapolis and got drunk. My Christmas and New Year's was spent in jail. When I got out, I had no money, so I took the hard way home, riding the rails. When I arrived, my family had made a decision for me.
In just a moment, we'll learn what happened when Charles returned home. Now, though, here's Pacific Garden Mission's president, Phil Kwiatkowski.
Thanks, Timothy. Women and children, especially homeless women and children, are acutely vulnerable to attack in today's world. Many of the women and their children who come to Pacific Garden Mission have been abused in some way or another. But our women's division provides security, a clean bed, and hot, nourishing meals. And as counselors talk with these women, study the Bible with them, and pray with them and for them, they are offered a new life in Christ. Meanwhile, the children who accompany the women also find care, but not merely a babysitting service. Those who are old enough are also taught about Jesus because our Lord said, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." And many times as they see their mothers grow in peace and stability and hear about Jesus themselves, the children are transformed by Christ as well. To learn more about the women's ministry, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
Back home, I learned that my family decided to do something for me. Well, at least my Uncle Albert had an idea.
What is wrong with you, boy? You're always running off and leaving your wife.
Uncle Albert, I just get restless. I can't stay in one place long. I want to see new places, meet new people.
Yeah, I seen dogs like that. Can't stay home, always running around the countryside, end up getting into things, making a mess, stirring up trouble. Often as not, they end up getting themselves shot. Anyone ever take a shot at you, Charles?
Nope, that's one bit of excitement I can thankfully say I ain't experienced.
Good. And they won't have a chance if you go along with this plan I got for you and Teresa.
What kind of plan?
Well, if you'll straighten out and agree to stick around, I'll help you get started on a productive life. There's this little farm just outside of town that I've had my eye on. I'll rent it and let you live there. I'll set you up with a good team of horses, some fine machinery. How about that?
That's, mighty generous of you, Uncle Albert.
Well, I think it's more than generous. I think it's an excellent plan. If you're past due to spend some time with your family, why, you and Teresa can be together and your kids will get to know their daddy. You should be very grateful, Charles.
Yes, I think so. Grateful. Sure, thank you, Uncle Albert. I just don't know what to say. Thank you very much.
That was early January, and we couldn't do any farming till spring. February and March made for a very rough winter that year, and I was cooped up with very little to do. Consequently, just weeks before it was time to start working the land, my wanderlust returned. I sold the lease for $100 and put the machinery up for sale that Uncle Albert had given me. Then I dropped Teresa and the kids off at my folks and grabbed the first train out of town to make a fresh start. The old lusts had returned. I was making one fresh start after another, and they all worked out the same way. The problem with a fresh start was that I was trying it with the same old sinful heart. I didn't realize that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." My attempts at a new life always failed. I kept wandering, and one time stayed away for 2 years. I joined a quartet, and we played the Keith Orpheum circuit for a few weeks. I thought I'd made it in vaudeville, but I was wrong. I stopped in Indianapolis and stayed at the shadiest hotel in town. In addition to the bad reputation, it had the biggest stud and blackjack game in town, running 24 hours a day. Let me see. Hit me. Again. What kind of dealer are you? I got cards.
Open up, police!
Hey, it's the cops! Let's go!
I spent the night in jail, and my thoughts condemned me as I walked to my hotel room. My roommate was a bass singer named Johnny, and he could see something was wrong.
What's the matter, Charles? Jail didn't agree with you, huh?
It's not that, Johnny. Just a feeling I got.
What kind of feeling?
I'll tell you the truth. The last time I felt like this, I was a little kid and said to my Sunday school teacher, I want to get saved.
And she said...
She said, "You're a good boy, Charles. You don't have to do anything." But, Johnny, it ain't true. I'm not good. I've been a rotten person all my life. Ask my folks. Ask my wife. I've been really rotten to my kids. And walking out on Uncle Albert like I did?
Sounds to me like you could use a drink.
Yeah. That sounds like an excellent idea.
There you go. That's enough to either cure you or kill you. Ease up there, Charlie.
Boy, was that good. Hit me again. Come on. Oh, no. I'm getting the shakes.
After that, I started acting strange. For one thing, I started praying. But the more I prayed, the more I drank and gambled. It was like the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." As a kid, I'd given my life over to sin, and this was the result. I was miserable and getting worse.
You know, Charles, you're getting more and more nervous every day. Uh-oh. I just got a bad feeling.
What's that, Johnny?
I got a notion that something terrible's gonna happen to you.
Are you a fortune teller now?
No, I just got a notion, that's all.
Shortly after that, I was in an auto accident. I was out with some drinking buddies, and we were driving, drunk. Miraculously, none of us got hurt, but it sure scared me. Then, a little while later, I started a new job in a machine shop. One day, I went to the tool room, and as I walked away, the overhead belt drive broke, and a very large, heavy piece of equipment fell right where my workstation was. I would have been killed if I'd been there. Now, I was really afraid of what would happen next. Johnny had said the third thing would be the worst.
Hey, Charles, you got me scared, too. I tell you what. You know that tent down the street that they call the Tabernacle?
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of religious meetings going on down there?
Yeah, what about it?
I think you ought to go down there. See what they can do for you.
Huh. Well, why don't you come with me?
Me? No way. This is probably the third and most terrible thing that's going to happen to you, and I'm staying far away as I can.
I better go down there and see if they can help me. Living like this is terrible. Makes a hangover feel like a pleasure. I'm going to go.
Now you hear people talk about faith, and so does the Bible. It says, "By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast."
Amen, brother.
Salvation comes by faith.
That's right.
And even faith is a gift from God.
That's true.
It's given to us by the Holy Spirit when we repent of our sins and are ready to abandon our faith in lesser things. Mm. When you're ready to give up your faith, even in yourself, then you're ready to receive faith from God and faith in God. Whatever you've been relying on, then you'll be ready to rely on Him.
I hope so, brother.
And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
The truth.
The Bible says that it is only through faith in Jesus Christ that we can attain a right standing before God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
And because this is a promise from God, you can put your complete assurance in it. Not because you feel faithful, but because God is faithful. One of the first books in the Bible, Deuteronomy, said this about God: "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations."
Mm-hmm.
God remains faithful, and it's when we repent and turn to Him that He saves us.
For the first time in my life, I finally understood Christianity. Jesus did it all. It's all rooted in what He did when He died on Calvary's cross. There was nothing I could do to earn God's favor. So as the people around me began to sing, I made my way down to the aisle to talk with the pastor.
"Hello, son. What can I do for you?"
I finally got the point. I can't even begin to try and be good enough.
That's right.
Jesus did it all, but why?
Well, because He loves you. You see, even one offense against a holy God carries a penalty of eternal damnation.
Huh, really?
Good works can't pay the debt, and since God loves you and wants you to be His child, He sacrificed His Son, Jesus, to pay the price for us.
I can't change on my own, become a new person.
No, only Jesus can make you a new person. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new."
I want that. I want that now.
Well, then tell the Lord, son.
"God,
I don't know what to say or how to say it, but here I am. I repent of my sins, and I want to receive a new life through the death of Jesus Christ. Teresa, it's me, Charles.
Oh, hi.
I got your letter, and it's true, honey. There's been a real change in me since Jesus saved me. Now, I know it's hard to believe, but the change is real. It wasn't me changing me. It was God making me a new person.
I want to believe you, Charles.
Then you'll come and join me, like I asked?
Your family advised against it. They can't believe you can change.
Please, Teresa. God said all things are made new. I'm a new person.
Well, okay. I'll give it one more try.
Teresa joined me and found that I was different. In time, she came to faith in the Lord, and we prepared to serve God wherever He would lead us. We worked first at a rescue mission in Chicago, then held evangelistic meetings in various towns. And for a while, we were traveling missionaries to mobile home parks. Eventually, God led me to pastor a small church in the Ozarks. It didn't seem like a great job from the world's perspective. The people couldn't afford to pay a pastor. But God provided for us and showed us that faith in Him is what life is all about. We were never sorry we went, because it was where God wanted us to be.
Listening friend, have you turned your back on the Lord like Charles did? Are you running from God? The living Lord is waiting for you to give up faith in your own ability to please Him. And He is offering you the opportunity to receive Him now. The Bible says, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Don't wait any longer. Pray the prayer so many others have prayed. Lord, I repent of my sins, and I want a new life. Please, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. If you prayed this prayer from your heart, if you need further help in making this crucial decision for Christ, let us know. We'd like to send you some material to help you. Please get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. In a world of limited hope, Unshackled is a blessing, a listener writes. We hope you let the manager of this station know how much you appreciate hearing Unshackled. This is program number 3323. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.